And since the fall of man, the desire of human nature has sought to obtain what belongs to God. See, worship belongs to God and only Him. But yet man has set his heart on what belongs to God from the beginning. Since the fall of man, humans will exalt themselves in worship because our desire is to be like who? To be like God.
Hello everyone, this is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part one of a series entitled, Our Worship. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus has an encounter with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Jesus tells this woman, the true worshipers of God will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Are you a true worshiper of God? Our prayer for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
If you have your Bible, please turn to Genesis chapter 3. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And then later on, we're going to be in John chapter 4. So Genesis chapter 3 and John chapter 4. I'm going to start a new series this morning entitled Our Worship. Worship is essential to the Christian experience. Worship is essential to the Christian experience. And worship is one of God's original creative purposes for mankind. With that being said, the fleshly mind, especially in our generation, that sounds egotistical. Do you understand what I'm saying? That may sound egotistical, that you mean that God created us to worship Him? How egotistical is that? I think the reason for that is because we don't understand worship. We don't really understand worship from our point of view. The purpose of worship, what worship is, and what worship is about, has been twisted by the understanding of this world. Because worship in our culture is personified the most, and it's most evident by the worship of self. We worship self in our world. We worship self in our world. I'll narrow it down even more. Human beings worship human beings. Human beings worship human beings. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That phrase, I underlined it, those five words, "You will be like God." In the Garden of Eden, Satan convinced man that he could be like God if he ate the fruit. And since the fall of man, the desire of human nature has sought to obtain what belongs to God. See, worship belongs to God and only Him. But yet man has set his heart on what belongs to God from the beginning. And you can say, well, not me, preacher. Listen, then that means, are you Jesus? Because you're not perfect. And we all have a sinful nature. We've all incurred this nature that Adam's given us. When you think about the fall of man, since the fall of man, we have a self-disposition kind of coded into our DNA. It's part of who we are. Since the fall of man, humans seek their own desires. Since the fall of man, humans will exalt themselves in worship because our desire is to be like who? To be like God. It's to be like God. Again, not me, preacher. Really, let me ask you this. Have you ever made a selfish decision? Yeah, you've been infected, see? Yeah, you've all been infected. We've all been infected. Have you ever disobeyed God and made your own choice? See, we've sought to obtain what belongs to God. We've sought to obtain what belongs to God. Worship belongs to God. There's two areas where you always got to keep the devil out of when it comes to church. Money. There's a guy called Judas we know about, correct? Money, and then you know what the other one is? Worship. Why is that? Because of Lucifer, correct? Lucifer. How many church fights and arguments and splits and battles have come down to the worship and the money? See, we all let ourselves become pawns. You know why? Because we feed into it with our own selfish desires. We got to be careful, amen? That's why worship has to be pure. God is alone. He alone is worthy of our worship. When you look at the word worship even, You have to understand what it really means. The origins of the word worship really means worthiness. And listen, there's only one person who is worthy of praise, one person who is worthy of adoration, and that's the Lord himself. Man should never be the object of worship. Yet in our fallen world, even among the redeemed, worship is often shared. Worship should never be shared. Worship should be given to God. Worship is for God, but yet we'll share our worship between man, between matter, and between God. And that's not the way it works. Our worship should be focused solely on our Lord. Worship of man has been the pursuit of human beings since the Garden of Eden. When Adam ate the fruit, he desired to be like God. You say, well, that was Eve. Listen, Adam had the authority. Adam had the responsibility. When Adam ate of the fruit, man fell. Adam desired to be like God as much as Eve did. Church, our worship is hindered the most by our selfish desires. Our worship is hindered the most by our selfish desires. Human beings worship human beings. Let me give you an example. Some people worship athletes. Some people worship actors and musicians. Some people worship their children and their spouses. The most frequent object of worship, though, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. That's the most frequent object of worship, of man's worship, is himself. So our understanding of worship can be skewed, because worship is understood through, we have a sinful nature. We have a carnal nature that we have to deal with. And sometimes that carnal nature, when it gets into a place of power or into a place of influence, it influences your worship. Listen, if you get all fleshly and get all carnal and get all bent over a situation, that will affect your worship. It will affect how you respond to God. It will reflect how you process worship. So you have to be careful that you approach worship from the right viewpoint, from the right standing. So sin has altered our view of worship. God is not like man. God is not like, he is not narcissistic, where he takes selfies of himself all the time. That's our perverted view of worship. That's our perverted view of worship. We have an unnatural view of worship, and as a result, we process worship through the lens of fallen man, through the lens of fallen reasoning. Sin has corrupted our internal being. There's no doubt about it. It has corrupted our original intent to worship God. And sin has corrupted our understanding and our expression of worship. As born-again believers who are restored to fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus, it may be difficult at times to distinguish what belongs to the flesh and what belongs to the Spirit. How many of you have ever been in that quandary where you're like, man, is this me or is this of God? How I'm reacting, is this a righteous indignation or is this just as plain, flat-out anger? So you have to discern those two. Am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? Is my reaction in the flesh or is my reaction of the Spirit? Is my worship of the flesh or is my worship of the Spirit? Is my worship to bring glory and honor to God or is my worship to make me feel better about myself because I'm going to church and I like to sing this song and I like to do this? God does not need our worship. He doesn't need our worship. God does not have some frail ego where he has to be adored. See, that's where sometimes we get confused. When we say that God made us for the purpose of worship, we think, man, does he really have such a fragile ego that he has to be adored and praised? And the answer is no, but that's sometimes how we understand worship. That's because our reasoning is tainted by sin. It's tainted by a sinful nature. Listen, there are many of us who express worship out of fear and respect, but that's only an aspect of worship. That there's other aspects of worship. Are you hearing me? Should we approach God with a fear, with a reverence? Absolutely. But there's more than that. It's kind of like a relationship between a father and a child. If that relationship is healthy, there is fear for the father, there is respect for the father, but it's not so much fear for that child can't jump up on daddy's lap and give him a hug and a kiss. That's the healthy balance, amen? Some people worship God from an emotional experience. God's given us emotions. We should be emotional. However, our worship is not about all about our emotions. Why do many of us have a limited understanding and experience of worship as believers? It should not be. The reason for that is because we tend to filter our worship through our fleshly man. But listen, thanks be to God for His Word. The Bible says this about itself. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides even soul from spirit. It helps separate the flesh from the spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Thanks be to God for His Word and for the Holy Spirit, who gives us discernment, who gives us the ability to discern between right and wrong, good and bad, spiritual and flesh. The Word of God gives us that ability. This morning, I want us to focus on what the Word of God says about worship and through this series. And I pray it challenges you to be a true worshiper of God. When you are born again, you are enabled to live according to the Spirit. Every person in here who's given their life to Jesus, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to reside within you. So therefore, you have the ability to live according to the Spirit. Many of us here this morning need our minds renewed when it comes to our understanding of worship and our expression of worship. God created us for the purpose of worship. That's one of His purposes. And I pray again through this series that we'll have insight and understanding into one of the most important aspects of the Christian experience, and that's our worship. When we come to worship, or wherever you worship at, because remember, worship should not be just to this place, correct? Don't tie your worship to a location. Tie your worship to your Savior, amen, to your God. Because if you do that, you'll worship Him wherever you are. That's the key, is to be a true worshiper, not a religious worshiper. Does that make sense? See, worship is an experience of Christianity. Worship is part of our experience. It's not something we just do. It's a part of who we are. God sent His one and only Son into this world to die for our sins, to save us. But listen, to save us why? And look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Every one of us has been separated from God by our sin. But the blood of Jesus has brought us near to God. See, worship is part of fellowship and communion with God. God's desire from the fall of man was to restore fellowship with His creation. This is what happens a lot of times when it comes to worship. Man, I love that song, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or I don't like this song. Or, I could really worship to that song. And see, what happens is we filter it then through our feelings. But worship has to be attached to the Savior. Worship has to be attached. And worship is more than just singing. Worship is more than just saying. See, worship is tied to fellowship. It's tied with communion. It's about being reconnected to the God whom sin disconnected you from. There's a restoration that takes place. There's a relationship. Worship is experienced in that relationship. God didn't put Adam and Eve in the garden because He needed a gardener. Right? He didn't need a gardener. He needed a creation that He made in His own image in which He was going to fellowship and commune and speak to. See, that's what worship is all about. Worship is all about being reconnected back to our Father, back to our Creator. And this is where we often miss worship. We make worship about the noise that's around us when it has little to do with it. It has mostly to do with the voice that you hear between you and God, amen? His voice speaking deep unto deep.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. The Father is seeking those who will worship in spirit and truth. I want to encourage you to be a true worshiper of God throughout your week. Don't let your Sunday morning worship experience be your only worship experience throughout your week. Seek the Lord daily and commune with Him. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.